All right, so welcome everyone to this week's W3C CTG meeting. Today we're going to hold an open session for the work item updates as well as open discussions and Core 3 2024 review. So later we'll open up the floor for everyone to kind of speak, comment on what we're doing well, room for improvements and growth and things like that. So that's the main agenda. Before we go there, I just want to quickly do a reminder on the code of ethics and professional conduct. I just want to make sure that we continue to hold constructive and respectful conversations. Next, a quick note on the intellectual property. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions in regards to the agreements or the W3C account, please just let any of the co-chairs know. Next, these meetings are automatically recorded and transcribed, as people can tell. We will try to publish the recordings and the transcriptions and the video recordings in the next 1 or 2 days. We use GC chat to queue the speakers during the call, as well as to take minutes. So you can type in queue plus to add yourself to the queue or queue minus to remove. Or you can type in a queue question mark to see who is in the queue. All right, so next, let's take a quick moment for the introductions and reintroductions. So if you're new to the community or you haven't been active and want to re-engage, please feel free to, you don't need to do a Q plus thing, just unmute and introduce yourself. I think it's mostly familiar faces. Next, any announcements and reminders? Simone.
Okay, yes, so thank you for the announcement section. We have, as W3C, some announcements. So first one, we just published an identity report, which is an idea of an analysis of the status of identities on the web and some issues that, of course, we talked about these issues probably all the day long for months, and just to write down and have a shared understanding also on terminology, that's all these kind of things common in standardization. So your feedback are welcome. And there's already some reference from our identity woman. So we try to be inclusive in this approach. And another point is just out today for people who are W3C member or are interested, the Federated Identity Working Group Charter to include the Digital Credentials API. So if you are a W3C member, please vote. And last time, not W3C thing, but as you may know, yesterday that was the Europe Council asked for feedback about the Digital Wallet Implementing Act. And okay, I was curious if which is the comments, maybe to collect all the feedback from people from CCG, from W3C members that maybe can be interested in sharing the feedback, and we can just understand all together which is our opinion as a community about that. So, I'll stop. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. By the way, just a quick aside, like, can you speak a little bit more into the Federated Identity Working Group proposal? Like, it sounds quite relevant. And so what is that working group supposed to work on?
Okay, the working group is already active. It's just born from a Federated Identity Community Group. And I don't know if Feder is connected. Okay, but we have Wendy, I think, that is the co-chair of the working group. So they were focusing on federated identity model, and in particular to creating a web platform API to have the federated identity as a feature, but without third-party cookies. And also their charter is to enlarge the scope of federated identity working group to include also the digital credentials API from the web incubation community group. And because more or less it's always the same, the skill set is the same, so they are using probably similar APIs, if not the same. And so that was a good place to start standardization here. And of course, it's already, there was a lot of discussion about that for different reasons, also for privacy, security, and human rights. And that's why also we started in parallel, thanks to Nick, which is the chair of the privacy interest group, to have a shared understanding also of the threats from all perspectives, security, privacy, and human rights. And also we are going to work with Marianne, with Mano, and so we will have a session to... So before standardizing the API, also to understand the threats and how to mitigate them. If you have any questions, I'm here.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification. I'll probably want to reach out to you and invite some of those experts to present here at W3C at some point. So thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Kalia.
I just wanted to share, we have Internet Identity Workshop coming up in October 29 to 31st. Bring your best Halloween costumes, for the last day. it's in Mountain View, California. Early bird pricing is up until, I believe, the 29th. We're also really committed to accessibility. So if you want to be there, and can't afford tickets, please reach out and we'll work with you. The DID Unconference Africa is happening in South Africa in September. It's primarily going to be just 2 days of open space, the 26th and 27th, with like a reception on the 25th. So if you are working with folks in Southern Africa and countries in any way related to this technology, please let them know about the event and encourage them to join us. It's going to be, I think, really good. And bonus, on my way there, I'm going to Taiwan for 2 days. So if anybody knows anyone in Taiwan in this space that I should connect with, please let me know. I'll be there September 19th and 20th. And that's all from me. Thank you.
Thanks, Kalia. Mommy.
Thanks, Harrison. We are continuing our slow walk towards verifiable credential 2.0 being done. We're doing basically the final editorial pass on the specification now. We have been asked by a number of organizations if, they're planning on using verifiable credential 1.1 and they're asking us if they should use 2.0. I think we're at a point now where, anyone that is considering the use of 1.1, that is probably going to go into pilot or production, you know, next year, like January of next year, you should probably be targeting version 2.0. Instead at this point. So we're gently nudging people to consider using version 2.0 over version 1.1 for pilot and production deployment. We are expecting it to be a global standard towards the end of this year, get through the process and all that kind of stuff. So just a heads up, if you know of people, like we had the government of Spain reach out and ask recently. We've had a number of European countries reach out and ask, and we're suggesting that everyone start the process of upgrading to 2.0. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Any other announcements and reminders? Please, Andrea.
Thank you. Good morning to all of you in the U.S. Today, NIST finalized the standardization of the three algorithms that were selected to be post-quantum. That corresponds to FIPS 203, 204, 205. It was published a few days ago, following a report from the White House about the path to towards post-quantum cryptography.
Thank you. Thanks for the heads up and update.
Cheers.
All right, so one more thing. So W3C has sent out the community survey for 2024. I think this is the first time they sent it out. I actually send out the announcements to the public list, but I'll paste it here. So if you got time, please take a few minutes to just provide some feedback to the W3C in regards to how we can further grow and the engagements in our communities. All right, so last calls for introductions, reintroductions, announcements, and reminders. All right, so I will share the screens, and we will provide some, we'll ask experts to provide updates to the different work items of the CCG. And then afterwards, I will also invite Kim to actually provide some updates in regards to the DIF, Decentralized Identity Foundation, relevant to the W3C CCG work. Give me a second. All right. So, well, first of all, I just want to give a quick shout out to Will. He actually had help put together this presentation. So big thank you to Will. I will just quickly go down the list and then invite different experts to different work items to kind of quickly provide some updates. And these are the different work items relevant to the CCG. So the VC API, VC 2.0, QuantumSafe, DI, Signature Suite. We don't have anyone to provide an update on the VC EDU, but if other people can speak to it, that would be great. Or VC traceability. But we will later have updates on random methods, barcodes. I think we have kind of dedicated sessions in the previous weeks already, but we can quickly provide some updates on that as well. And lastly, the DID link resources. All right, so verifiable credentials API. Manu or someone, can you provide an update on that, on this particular work item?
Yes, I can do that. Thanks, Harrison. For those of you that haven't heard of what this thing is, the Verifiable Credential API is a way of like managing the movement of verifiable credentials around the web and the internet. It does lifecycle management, what we call lifecycle management, which is, how do you do issuance? How do you move a credential from the issuer to the digital wallet, the holder? How do you move it from the holder to the verifier? How do you present stuff? How do you modify status on a credential that's been issued? So the Verifiable Credential API, does those things. It is an HTTP-based API. It also has a query language called Verifiable Presentation Request as a part of it. And today it supports flows over like OpenID 4. So a lot of people seem to think that OID 4 is completely competitive with the VC API. Even though that's not the case, you can actually run OID4 over the VC API. The VC API also does have its own workflows and exchanges, presentations mechanism. So the VC API is used to do a lot of like back office management of credentials. And the reason we do that is to make sure that people don't get locked into vendors, like customers don't get locked into vendors. There's an open API for doing lifecycle management. And it can also do kind of some of the front end credential delivery stuff. We've got 11 implementations of the API today. That's more than enough to take it through the standardization process. But there are varying levels of interop, right? So like issue and verify, those are pretty solid. Status changing, those are pretty solid in there. But some of the more complex workflow stuff, there are less implementers of those, but well beyond two at this point. We use the VC API extensively in the Verifiable Credential Working Group for all the test suites. There's also a canivc.com website that shows you how each implementer is doing. All of those implementers implement the VC API. And of course, there are production deployments of this today. So TrueAge, which launched last year, 18 months ago, uses the VC API to move all the verifiable credentials around the ecosystem. And the OpenCred platform, deployed by California DMV in production, also uses the verifiable credential API. Both to run OID4 as well as do some back-end management of the credentials that it's that they're issuing. We have a GitHub repo. It's got issues in it. The working group meets, the community group meets every week, and we have been regularly processing issues to the point that we're out of issues. We have resolutions on the issues, but PRs like pull requests on updating the specification are lagging because many of us are just so busy with the verifiable credential 2.0 work. Once that work is a little further along, we expect VC API to catch up and get all those backlog of PRs done. We are well enough along now where we have enough like production experience, both running OID4 over the VC API and using the VC API to like manage production deployments, where we feel pretty comfortable with proposing it to go on the standards track soon. Once it goes on standards track, we expect it to move pretty quickly, only because we have like 11 implementations already. Like normally you have zero when you start, but we've got test suites, we've got implementations. You know, the thing has been used for, 2 to 3 years at this point. And so the plan is to take it, standards track later this year. And that's it for the update there. We meet every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're meeting again, this week. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Patrick, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to add something to this. What I'm personally very interested to get feedback from people, and it's something that I'm sort of exploring at the moment, is the whole process of verifying a credential, especially when a credential has many features included. You know, features could be something like a status, maybe terms of use, or any of the feature. Where do these checking these features fit in the process that we call verifying a credential? Because when designing test suite, this is something that can or can't be easy to test based on a verification call. And there's different opinions. Like the VC API is one way to do these operations, but the verifiable credential data model specification as a verification algorithm section, which outlines some kind of process that implementers should go through when they verify a credential. Same thing for the data integrity specifications, got its own verification algorithm, bitstring status list. So I'm interested in, hearing from people's experience, maybe if they have solution out there, how do they handle verifying credentials? And checking all these features all together. So if someone wants to discuss this, I'd be very interested to hear.
Thank you. Thanks, Patrick. Any other questions or comments? Any comments on Patrick's comment? All right, we'll go to the next work item, the test suites, the VC test suites. So, Benjamin, do you mind providing an update on that?
Yeah, happy to. Hello, everybody. I'm Benjamin Young with Digital Bazaar. I've been working on the Verifiable Credentials Working Group and CCG test suites for about the last year. And as the working group nears the completion of its work, the specifications are becoming increasingly more stable, which makes finishing up the test suites a possibility. So the VCDM data model specification is, you know, the crown jewel. That specification is, as Manu mentioned earlier, pretty nearly all done. And so is the test suite. There's a couple updates that have happened in the last couple weeks, mostly just language changes that we're getting in. And then that one is already ready for implementation, but we'll have full coverage hopefully by the end of this week. Most of the rest of the test suites from the working group are related to data integrity and the related crypto suites. And those build on some shared libraries to test the core of the data integrity proof mechanism and related components of the JSON LD there. And then each crypto suite has its own test suite whereby the proofs themselves are tested and things like that. All of these links are in this deck, which I think Harrison will share later. And in addition to those, we also have the Bitstring status list, which became part of the raft of specifications brought over from the CCG just in the last few months. It is previously known as Status List 2020 and since been renamed. So that test suite is one of the newer ones, but it's well on its way. And then the remaining two on this list are the HoseyCozy test suite and the VC JSON schema test suite. Those are spearheaded by Gabe from Block. And Gabe, if Gabe is here, is welcome to say more. I didn't have time to sync up to get more details from Gabe. But you can click through to those test suites to see how those are going. And those have their own implementation configuration process. I'll go to the next slide, and then I do have one sort of call to action at the end. This is the list of implementers as of Monday that we have integrated with the test suites. We know of others that are working on it, but have yet to send us the JSON that connects their implementation with the test suite reporter. The test suite reporter, as Manu mentioned, actually builds on VC API, and it's a basically a very minimal version of that that just allows you to wire in your implementation through an issuance request or a verify request or whatever. So you can build, and there are some publicly available open source minimal implementations of just the required endpoints for the test suites, and then you can wire that into either your public or private implementation or your SDK or whatever. So the implementers you see here have all done that. We have great coverage on the VCDM, and most of the crypto suites are also well covered. One of the key things to know is that in the W3C specification process, implementers per specification is great, but ultimately we're also watching for all the musts in the specification to know that each of those musts have good coverage. And I think with very, very few exceptions, all the must statements are well covered at this point for the ones At the top of the list, you see Bitstring because it's newer, only has two. And then, I was not able to find any HoseyCozy implementations, connected yet to the public reporter. So if you have one of those, please reach out to Gabe. It goes by Decentralized Gabe on IRC if you're on there. And then the VCJSON schema one also only had one publicly listed implementer. But again, there's also a continued drumbeat of please bring your implementations. And relatedly, we've started running a test suite office hours weekly headed up to TPAC. So if you are in the process of building out your implementation, it'd be great to have you pop into those. They're weekly at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Thursdays. And if you come, we'll help you get your implementation wired up, or if you just have sort of introductory questions, or if you just want to say hi and let us know that you're working on it and would love help or camaraderie. That's what these office hours are for. So we'd love to have you join. And if you have questions, please reach out.
Thank you, Benjamin. Any questions or comments in regards to the VC test suite? And yes, I just, thanks, Benjamin for the reminder. I forgot to send the link, to the presentation. I'll do that after the meeting. All right. Next, we have QuantumSafe, BI signature suite. So Andrea, do you mind providing some updates? Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here, everybody. There is no substantial update from the last time I did show this to some of you. So I'll just recap, the current situation with, post-quantum, signatures. So just today, the FIPS 203, 204, 205 corresponding to, FIPS 203 is a key exchange mechanism, which we previously discussed that probably we can't see a use in the digital identity and verifiable credential world. But 204 and 205 are two signature schemes, corresponding to the old Dilithium and Sphinx from the NIST post-quantum cryptography competition were standardized. You shouldn't clap your hands to me because we didn't do much in that regards. Anyway, I posted a link to the White House report about post-quantum cryptography, and it appears that they are accelerating on the adoption of this, and there is money that will be spent on post-quantum cryptography. And we have started a W3C VC standardization working group for a couple of months ago. We haven't done much since then. From our side, we were primarily waiting for the algorithms to be standardized because it didn't really make much sense to work on the cryptography part until that happened, but that happened today. So if anyone is interested in collaborating on that, we'd be very happy to work on that together. So what we have so far is MLDSA 44, which is the standardized version of Dilithium 2. In the standardized, we checked the documents today of the final version of FIPS 204, and there seem to be some minor differences with the version that we implemented, so we'll look at it in the next days. Then, also in line with that, a while ago we implemented the post-quantum public keys in our DID method. We have put together a prototype of W3C VC issuer. We've also trying to put together some microservices to run that so that other people can try them easily. The parts that we're missing for sure, because I'm aware of those, are the multi-key support. So we don't yet encode public keys in a way that, in the way that is indicated in the document. We haven't done any work on that integrity at all. And I think that those are missing from the testing suites as well. So yes, so long story short, not much moved from last time we spoke, but it could be a good moment to restart the conversation if there's any interest in that.
Well, please.
Yeah, hi. I've just a comment on, I think it would be good to restart the conversation, maybe thinking about creating some issues, like around, like if multi-key support is something that's needed, like then changing to that, so we see repo things here. I think it would be great to get some issues up and then we can start
Will, I'm sorry, but your voice came through a bit jumpy. Is then anybody that could?
No, I mean, sorry. I mean, I just thought I'd fix my internet issues, but hopefully it's better now.
Yes, it is.
I was saying, like, I think a good next step would be to turn some of these things into GitHub issues, and then we can start directing attention towards those issues, like discussing them, making those changes.
All right.
Manu.
Yeah, this is a great. Thank you, Andrea. We continue, Digital Bazaar continues to be very supportive of this work. We definitely want to be another implementer of the specification. We are just underwater with all the VC2.0 stuff in the test suites and the and just getting those specifications out the door. But we, you know, it's great news today that, you know, the ML, DSA algorithms have been standardized by NIST. That will give us a very firm, foundation to build off of. So yes, we're definitely interested. I still can't, you know, commit to a timeline, but, we definitely want to see this work, progress. That's it.
Thank you. So, to-do list for me, I'm going to turn those missing points into issues. The multi-key support, I guess that's something we can solve ourselves by implementing it in our virtual machine. Data integrity, I'll need some help, and API testing suite as well.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Andrea? All right, thanks a lot. Next, Patrick, please.
Yeah, I have a question. If you could just go back to the previous slide. So it mentioned that there's a prototype of W3C VC issuer. Sorry, I missed it. Is there like a playground or somewhere we can have this, or it's all code we need to run at the moment?
You asking if we have a REST API hosted?
So something like that, yeah.
We actually do.
Okay.
We actually do. I'll post something in the chat here. But you're most welcome to reach out to me if you want to have a look at that. Deep look.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm interested. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions in regards to Quantum Safe EI Signature Suite? All right, next. Anyone can provide an update on VCEDU? Otherwise, we can skip this, and I'll try to. We will try to connect with the VCEDU folks to provide an update on their work items in the next few weeks. Anyone can speak to this right now?
Yeah, Harrison. I think we should just take a task for these two, like, because these are. I think this is something that came out when I last presented, right? Like, we don't really have a good mechanism in the CCG to interface with these task forces, right? Because VCEDU and VC Traceability are both task forces. But, like, for me at least, there's not much visibility in what goes on there. Like, so we should just take a separate task to try and explore how we can work better together, I think.
Sounds good. Thanks, Will. All right, next, VC traceability. Anybody can speak to this, or we can skip this right now? Patrick, please.
I've been attending these calls for a while. I'm currently working on behalf of government of BC to do some work with the energies and mines supply chain work, and we were looking at the traceability specification. I believe the current state, so they are realigning with the latest set of technical recommendations from the DHS, which is to use the verifiable credential data model 2.0 bitstring status list. The latest work item that was worked on was to, well, realign the sort of test suites that they have. So they have test suites based on Postman. So they have a few collections which were running really well. So it's just about, you know, making them up to date with the latest set of recommendations. So that's pretty much all I could contribute to say on there.
Thank you. Actually, that's a great update. Thanks a lot. All right, next, VC rendered methods.
I can do this one. So we've had a number of, I think, presentations over the past couple of weeks to months on different render methods. So Government of Singapore has this really neat render method called the Open Attestation render method. We also have render method examples now finally built into the VC Playground. So if you go to the VC Playground today, a number of the cards come with a render method. So what are render methods? It's basically a way for the issuer to, in the credential itself, so when they issue a verifiable credential, they can say, this is exactly how I want this credential to be rendered. Now, the wallet can ignore them, and the wallet can provide a bunch of other different ways to render the credential, but at least the issuer gets to say, like, if you put this on the screen, this is one of the things I would like the individual to see. The other important part about that is that, like, how it shows up, how it's rendered, how it's displayed is included in the digital signature. So the digital signature protects it. So you know that, you know, when it's rendered, this is exactly how the issuer wanted it to be seen. Harrison, I don't know if it's possible to go full screen on this or not, but, I wanted to try to get into, there we go. Great. Thank you. So, you know, as you can see, each one of these is a scalable vector graphics file. Like you could blow this up to like a giant 4-foot size, you know, driver's license or certificate of naturalization, or first responder credential. The data that you see on the card is taken directly from the digitally signed data, in the verifiable credential. And as you can see, there are all kinds of different like shapes and sizes that you can make these things. If you wanted a circular credential, you can do that. If you want, you know, a really long one, you can do that. Anyway, they're like, they look really nice. Mad props to Benjamin, who did a lot of the graphics work, for this stuff, along with the rest of the team. James and Tyler and the others for kind of integrating this into the digital wallet work and the playground. We do have multiple implementations of this stuff. There's not really a whole lot of interoperability yet. We're still kind of experimenting. Like SVG has its limits, and so we're also looking at PDF, and we're also looking at other text-based template formats. We're probably going to change. We're probably going to generalize the mechanism so that it is not specific to SVG or PDF, to just make it so that any text-based visual template would work. As I mentioned, we do have this stuff deployed to the playground, so you can play around with this today. Like if you can go get like a free demo Veris wallet and then go to the playground and pick these things up, and then once the credentials are in your wallet, you can like look at them, zoom into them, make them like gigantic and full screen, view them on your mobile phone, view them on your tablet, desktop. You know, it works in all those different form factors. We think we could probably get this stuff on the standards track in 6 to 12 months. We're not really rushing it all that much. It is something that a lot of people are interested in. but we want to make sure that we, you know, get it right. So there's not a super big rush to push it to standards track just yet. That's it for render method.
Patrick, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to also put on the radar another render method that I'm working on with some other folks. There was also the Swiss government that was interested in that, and is overlay capture architecture render method. So overlay capture architecture is a mechanism to provide these overlay bundles that carry information about the credential. We're currently looking to implement this in BCGov for many use case. I wouldn't say it's a render method per se, but it will add a lot of information that a rendering software could then use. So if you have a web interface that want to display the verifiable credential with overlay capture architecture, you can provide a lot of different overlay bundles for internationalization, adding description, labels, and so on in a way that's cryptographically safe. And another very interesting byproduct that we found for this currently is to provide mappings based on JSON path. So you can provide mappings if you have a system, an already existing system, and you want to implement verifiable credential, it could provide you a path to map fields and verifiable credential that your system requires for indexing or searching verifiable credentials. So that's a very nice feature that we found that we are using right now. Overlay capture bundle is something else I look to bring to the VC render method eventually.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sorry, I raised my index.
No worries. All right. Next, we have verifiable credential barcodes. So I think we already have a presentation last week, but any other updates in regards to the VC barcodes?
Would you like me to still give a quick overview today? Obviously, I won't go into depth since we just had the presentation, or nothing?
Yes, please.
Sure. Okay.
Please do. Yeah.
So verifiable credential barcodes, this is an effort that is a neat application of the kind of base VC technology, and that is using VCs to cryptographically secure physical credentials, things like driver's licenses or employment authorization documents. And we do that by encoding VCs into a barcode that gets printed on the document, and such as a PDF 417, which is the barcode you see on the back of the driver's license, or a QR code on the front of the employment authorization document. And what these VCs do is they digitally sign not only over the VCs themselves, but they also digitally sign over the other machine-readable data that's on the card, so you get cryptographic security for both your VC and the data that's already on the card to make it tamper-resistant. So there are multiple implementations of the verifiable credential barcode spec in progress, and that spec now contains test vectors with step-by-step instructions for how to implement. So we encourage, if you're somebody that's interested in this technology, please take a look at those test vectors and maybe get an implementation going. There are production deployments for the VCB work in progress with California DMV and Department of Homeland Security. And the plan is that we propose this tech for standards track soon. That's it.
Thank you. That's great. Great summary. So I'm going to hurry up a little bit because I want to leave the last 10 minutes for Kim's presentation on the DIF and CCG. So I'll go over to the next topic. Verifiable issuers and verifiers. Anyone have any updates on this particular work item? All right, lastly, DID link resources. We have a session next week to go in depth on this particular work item, but anyone want to provide an overview in regards to DID link resources? All right, so we'll go over this in more details next week. So any questions on the work items before we get to the DIF updates from Kim? Ken, the floor is yours. Do you want me to share your presentation or you can share?
I can share it. Thank you. Let me figure this out. Okay, looks like I'm here. I see it. Okay, thank you. I'll try to keep this under time for Q&A at the very end. Just context at the beginning, one thing we've clarified in 2024 is DIFF's life cycle. So for a long time, we've been incubating standards, and we work with other orgs to promote or graduate out draft specifications, reports, et cetera, to other orgs. We don't have to graduate out. Standards can continue to live in DIFF. But the third leg of this that we're focusing on a lot is this apply and grow. Now, this has been happening in DIFF for a while, but we're making it more of a first-class citizen. So part of this is clarifying how decentralized identity standards and tech can be used in production for real-world use cases. And a lot of these discussions have been happening through our special interest groups like travel and hospitality and regional SIGs. But the other aspect that we're clarifying this year is that we don't necessarily have to pull from standards that exist in DIFF. We, can, when people are building solutions, they don't really care where the standard lives. They just want to find the best standard, combine everything together and make it work. So most of our upcoming efforts are really focused on demonstrating that you can use a DIFF standard, like an identity hub with a W3C standard, et cetera. And so you'll see that theme throughout. Quick updates that we've grouped into sort of our DIFF themes. Community and outreach is one. We've been rolling out, thanks to Lamari, DIFF coffee breaks. So that's a casual method that we use to describe what's happening at DIFF or from our members on Twitter or X. And so you can follow our handle to see updates about that. We're a little bit on hold with that because we have a lot of other efforts coming on, but we should be resuming that soon. DIFF hackalongs, we have our first one happening now, and it's actually a Spanish language hackalong, which we're extremely excited about. You can find the link here. We had our first session. There's 5 sessions total. And we're co-hosting these with a DIFF member, Extremian. And, but it's a good way to learn the basics of SSI in Spanish language. So, we're really hoping to expand inclusivity and access to everyone, the languages that they're comfortable with. So we have a lot of plans like this in the future. China SIG is operated in Chinese, as it probably should be. And, so we're expanding out more multi-language efforts. DIFF Hackathon is coming up very soon. We had our first DIFF-hosted hackathon last year, and so we're continuing that. It will be in October. There's a little more details coming on that. Advocacy. So we have been working to advocate for use of decentralized identifiers in regulatory frameworks, including the EU digital wallet. And we've also been working with other orgs, including the CCG and DID working group, on an effort to promote DID method standardization. You'll be hearing a lot more about that coming up soon. On our theme of what we call DIFF for developers, we're continuing to roll out and host educational and informational infrastructure. So not for production use, but Universal Resolver is something that we've hosted for a while, thanks to Danube Tech. It is a way of resolving DID methods across DID methods. So you can experiment with that. I didn't include the link. It's uniresolver.io. And in July, we just announced this hosted DWN community service. You can look at this link for how to use it and interact with it. We have a little sample here, but that was a result of Google Cloud, DIFF, and TBD partnering to offer this. And coming soon, we have DIFF Labs that is focused on end-user applications, protocols, and demonstrations. You'll be hearing a lot more about that. It'll be timed with the hackathon. Quick survey of the working group, sort of the core work. So we are relaunching the APAC SIG through excitement that came out of some Africa decentralized identity efforts. So this existed before, but there's renewed energy for it. So it's coming off of hold and relaunching. We have a credential schemas work item that is part of the claims and credentials working group. And that's focused on reusable KYC, age verification, proof of humanity, and a range of other efforts. This one's very exciting, getting a lot of attention. It was mentioned in the recent Gartner report covering decentralized identity as something that they're following. So that's a good opportunity to get in on these very interesting use cases. Proof of humanity, you'll be hearing a lot more about in the coming weeks, so stay tuned on that. DigTraits is just launched as of this morning, so that will be part of the ID discovery group. You can think of it as related to Did Rubric, and we'll actually, that's worth a whole additional session from the ID discovery group who's behind that. So, but you can read more about that through the identity discovery group. And very exciting and relevant, we will be launching with the CCG a DID method working group soon. So that comes out of this letter of intent that was recently released. So a lot more details coming up on that. I'm going to shut it down in just a second. So recently promoted Specs Credential Trust Establishment and Linked VP. Lastly, we have our hackathons coming up. We're looking for almost at the limit, but we're still accepting sponsorships. And if you would like to participate on it, announcements will be coming out soon. The major tracks will be education, which is actually education and workforce. And this one's really exciting for this group, touching on VC for EDU. We're working closely with the folks in VC EDU to make sure that it builds off of the JFF Plugfest work. So it's a good way to extend the great work done there and also allow participants to get involved very quickly and reuse that infrastructure that was built there. So that's a great example of DIF embracing standards from a broad range of organizations. Travel hospitality and reusable identity, of course, are important efforts in our SIGs and working groups. And to learn more, here's our website, or just reach out anytime. You know where to find me. Any questions?
Money.
Yeah, Kim, this is all awesome stuff. Really neat to see like the different work streams. For the credential schemas thing, are you thinking like, or is that basically like, you know, we've got like a citizenship vocabulary that we're working on in CCG. There's a driver's license one as well. Are you thinking it's like work that's kind of similar to that? I mean, it would be great if that's the case, because, you know, we are spending a lot of time on kind of the fundamental technology and not necessarily as much on the application layer space, like the business, you know, level. What are your thoughts there? What's kind of the goal for those items?
That's a great call out. So in this working group, most of the early effort is getting a very crisp use case. So a lot of this comes from my experience trying to, you know, sort of deploy solutions around reusable KYC, reusable identity. It's very important to get the semantics right and to get the business, you know, get all of the stakeholders, compliance, official, or experts, all of this in the room. And so what we're focusing on in the early stages, exactly what do we mean by, you know, like what use cases will these schemas fit in? And so expect to see a lot of documentation around how each of these schemas it's used, which use cases is appropriate. So proof of humanity, for example, not a proof of personhood, not trivial. Like, does it mean proof of unique personhood? You know, what does it mean? What are its use cases? So yes, a lot of the work happening in CCG seems to be coming out more. The group of participants have come to consensus in some manner about how they're using it. So it's really great to get everything, you know, like to bootstrap people who know exactly what they're doing or the use case is quite crisp. So I think a lot of what we're doing is the stuff leading up to it. And so I see a lot of intersection in terms of when we actually know what we're talking about, right? So the minted taxonomies and schemas and all of that. And that will be a really exciting use case to or example to figure out like how we improve the discoverability. Discoverability is a huge problem for people who are getting started in decentralized identity. Do you have to just create your own schema? So that's something I'd love to work closely with CCG on as we mature our work.
Any other questions for Kim? By the way, Kim, I would probably want to reach out to you later to find out who can actually present about proof of humanity and some of these works like EID traits at CCG, because I'm very curious to learn more.
Fantastic. Yes, I will. We'll get in touch right after this.
Cool. Thanks. Kendra, please.
I might be slightly off topic, but we're interested in building the KYC capabilities into our identity solution. So anybody that has is working on that or has good hints would be very happy to hear.
I'm just curious, when you say KYC capabilities, what are you referring to? Are you referring to using third-party verification data?
Yes.
Or are you... Oh, got it.
No, not okay. Verification data. I'm referring to a mobile app. So I'm thinking about biometrics and document OCR.
Ah, got it.
Am I off topic completely?
Oh, no, it's fine. I think this is an open discussion. So are you looking for a vendor or are you looking to, because if you're looking for a vendor on biometrics and OCR, I can refer you and connect you with those vendors.
Well, that'd be nice, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. All right, I will put that in my calendar. I'll try to connect you with the vendors like this week or next week.
Uh-huh. This came to mind because I read the reusable KYC on the PowerPoint and on the presentation here. So.
Got it. Yeah, I know those folks quite well. So I will make some introductions. Uh-huh.
Sounds good. Thank you.
We are at time, but any last thoughts or comments or questions?
Just a quick one. KYC is a three-letter acronym and could mean many things. We should avoid those.
Got it. Yeah, it's know your customer, right? Know your customer compliance. It's one of the part of the financial crime compliance, especially... I think it started from the Bank Secrecy Act in the United States back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're at time. Just want to give a quick shout out again for Will for organizing all of this and putting this together. And I want to give a big thanks to Kim, Manu, Andrea, Benjamin, Patrick for actually giving us updates on all these work items. We will we'll commit to do this every quarter. So the next one is scheduled to be the end of October, the beginning of November. All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you.